From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Hey there, children of the night. Welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello to everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever cape wearing producer of Bob After Dark. Well, I already said producer, but I'll do it again.
Yeah.
My friend, my brother, my producer, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Oh, hey there, Bob, as my cape gets stuck in the wheel of the chair here. How's it going, Bob? Back with another episode of Bob After Dark.
Oh, Count, it's last week I thought I was going to die.
Yeah, what happened?
So you remember when I was in here the Tuesday prior, I come in, I'm like, man, I got to clear my throat a lot. Maybe I have like sinus thing going on. Yeah. Would you like to know what I woke up to on Wednesday morning?
What was it?
Double pneumonia.
Now, most people get pneumonia. You had
I had double pneumonia. Just about double pneumonia.
Worse than pneumonia, but not as bad as triple pneumonia, but it was double pneumonia.
Yes, it sucked.
Yeah.
Because when you have pneumonia, your immune system's pretty much weakened, right?
Yeah.
And so you have to isolate yourself because we also live in a weird COVID world where COVID's a thing that goes around. So I had to isolate myself in the house for a week. Like, I didn't leave for 7 whole days. And then I went out once. I felt like garbage the next day, and I was home since. So this is like my first day being outside basically in a week.
Oh, man. Well, you did it, Bob. You defeated pneumonia. Double pneumonia. You live to tell about it.
Yes, I'm very, very
That's no
happy.
Joke. You know, and we're in, as we are filming this, we're in what they call a polar vortex, Bob. Do you know what this is?
Oh, would you like to explain to the people at home that our fans in Costa Rica, what they're missing right now?
Oh, man. Yes, it's right now. It's negative. I'm going to check right now what's the temperature as we film this right here, right now in Hammond, Indiana. It is currently 3 degrees, but feels like negative 17 degrees. So negative 17 degrees right now as the time of this recording, Bob. Let that be. This might be, you think this is the coldest episode? Well, not the coldest episode. It's going to be a hot episode. But the weather.
the
coldest weather we ever recorded.
I would say so. Yeah. There's no question about it.
The tower is thawed out and we're ready to roll.
I'm literally here. I'm not exactly sure how I'm here, but I'm here.
You're here.
I didn't want to be here.
That's not a great way to start.
Oh, I can, nothing would stop me other than being sick. But man, that cold is being very cold, Count Panic. It is frigid.
But, you know, we do it for the viewers and the listeners and all that good stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm happy. Pardon. It's exciting to be here. Yeah. I'm happy to be back. I'm feeling better. I'm off all my meds, finally. Mm. All in time for me to be leaving for Columbus, Ohio in a few days for OhioCon.
OhioCon.
I'm not speaking this year.
Okay.
For the first time in 4 years, I'm not speaking at OhioCon. I'm not going into it here, but for all the fans at home, I'll be at OhioCon. You can come say hello to me at the Pawstar booth at any point. Make sure you shop your local vendors if you're listening to this. This might be out before OhioCon. Yeah. I don't know. But if you're tuning in after the fact and you had a chance to say hi and meet you, it's great. I'm sorry I'm not chatting this year with y'all, but I will be at OhioCon either way. I'm working. You guys can come find me, say hello, and peruse.
Peruse.
I'll be at the Pawstar booth.
Okay.
Excellent. So that's where I will be for OhioCon this weekend in Columbus. I'm looking forward to some Mickey's late night slice and homemade pierogi from the food market.
Hey, how about that?
Mm-mm-mm. Some of the best pierogi you'll ever have in your life.
That's quite the endorsement.
Yeah. So what's been going on with you, Count? Let's get a weekend update.
That's
man.
High praise.
Several Bob. Weekend updates.
Several. Yeah. Well, geez, Bob. I know, right? We had a thing around here where we could have got a snowstorm. It didn't really pan out to be a snowstorm. A lot of weather people were quick to jump the gun on that, but it did snow a little bit over the weekend, and then we turned into the polar vortex. So really, all in all, Bob, you know, when it gets this cold, I got to be careful because the count you know, the wings start to freeze up. So luckily, that didn't happen, and we are good to go.
Yes, I'm.
How about you?
I spent a lot of time in the house.
That's right. Yeah.
I watched movies, which was nice. I played catch up on a lot of stuff I had to play catch up on. I did a lot of sleep because, you know, when you're very sick, it's just sleep is for the best. That was miserable week and a half of being sick. No, I don't recommend anybody get pneumonia. What a way to ring in the new year.
Yeah, no, yeah. But you defeated it.
So, but no, it's great. Also, folks, in case you're watching live and you see my eyes scrolling down, tonight we are launching something brand new.
What is it?
It is the Bob After Dark Discord server.
The Bob After Dark Discord server.
Yes. So I think you just go to, like, I'm brand new at this. I've been in Discord servers before, but my exact server just launched tonight. So it is the Bob After Dark Discord channel, or Discord. I guess you could just go to, like, discord.com/bobafterdark. You can request to join the server, and there's a live show discussion in the in the app itself.
Wow.
I'm learning it as we speak. But so if, from fans of the old days that used to watch Bob After Dark live, and you would be able to chat with me live, that option's back to you now.
There you have.
Because I know there's people over at JedTV.com that are watching now.
Yep.
Head on over to the Bob After Dark Discord so you guys can have a chance to check the show out.
All right. Well, how about that?
Yes.
Live time.
Absolutely.
And if it's after the fact, you could still chat. Or no, it's only live for this episode.
No, we're going to do this for here on out.
No, but I mean, like, can people say you can't catch this episode live? Can you still comment?
Oh, you can catch the podcast. The podcast will be out at whatever you want.
And you can go
on Discord. The Discord runs 24 hours a day.
So you can comment whenever you want.
You comment on whatever. I have several threads up. I'm going to do short story time streams on there as well as Twitch. That's like a big thing I'm trying to launch this year. I'm trying to be hip to be square, Kyle.
Yeah,
like,
you know, Huey Lewis.
Is New Kids on the Block still hip and relevant?
Yeah, somewhere. In the 80s.
If this is your first time ever watching or listening to Bob After Dark, we're your weekly-ish paranormal show where we talk about legends, lore, supernatural, things that go bump in the night, weird cryptid stories, and of course, Count Panic's favorite, cheese.
Wow, that's a good question. Cheese? I like mozzarella cheese. I like a lot of cheeses. Right now, I'm going to go with mozzarella cheese.
Mozzarella, he says.
Yeah, I mean, that's good. I also like just a good nacho cheese for dipping things. That's fun as well. I can tell you bad cheese.
Sure.
I don't like goat cheese. And I've never been big on blue cheese either. So I guess I don't like every cheese out there. But most of it's pretty good.
Insert post-editing, Bob. Make sure you insert a drum and cymbal in the background. We're going to get a Bob After Dark intern in 2024.
Their
job is to hang out on the sidelines and just do the badoots.
Provolone is a good one, too. Provolone's
Would you like to know mine?
Yeah, what is it?
Baby Swiss.
Why Baby Swiss?
I mean, I like regular Swift as well.
But just Baby.
I prefer Baby Swiss.
Okay.
Yeah. Mild Cheddar.
Mild cheddar?
Very sharp cheddar.
Sharp cheddar.
Yeah. And just Swiss, those my absolute favorite. Baby Swiss, big top. And
how about the
Brie
cheese?
I do love Brie.
How about the cheese in the, like, the can that you could spray out?
Cheese Whiz.
Cheese Whiz.
Cheese Whiz. Blues Brothers, you know,
yeah,
specialty there. All right. Yeah. So how we split Bob After Dark up is into two parts. Top half of the episode is the weird spooky news of the week. That's where you, the fans, and me, the Bob, go digging on the internet for all the weird spooky news and anything from ghosts and goblins and weird cryptid sightings making it into major media presence, UFO sightings, weird advances in borderline on science fiction, and just Bob-worthy news.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Typically, 9 times out of 10, Count Panic isn't warned ahead of time unless it's for a video reason.
She's
actually prepared this week. 2024, we're coming into this year prepared. So we actually have 4 news stories because I was gone during probably the most breaking news story, I think, of all time here on the show. And I missed it. I was sick when the story broke.
Mm, I think I know where you're going.
I've had countless people messaging me about this. I've had people ask me my opinions on this. You ready to just tackle it head on?
Yeah, let's see.
All right. So, by the way, second half of the episode, we dive into the weird, spooky new lore. It's the lore of the week. Spooky, you're screwing lore me up here, Count.
Spooky lore.
That's the lore of the week, ripped straight from the diaries of Dr. Ben Vanerson. We look at, you know, the meat and potatoes of the episode. That's when we look at the creature, the story, the something.
The cheese.
Anyway, not cheese. The spooky meat. Cheese stories, yes. Mm. Anywho, let's move on here. So, I'm reading this from Forbes. And I need you to know that it's not easy to be featured in Forbes magazine, because it's kind of like, you know, one of them big deal publications. But this story was so popular that it made it into Forbes. Let's read along here. And that is, rumors of a 10-foot alien at Miami Mall circulate online. And here's actually what happens. The story was written by Antonio Pinico IV. Top line, rumors and video clips of panic, massive police presence, and what social media users claim to be an 8 to 10 foot tall alien appearing in a Miami mall cropped up online Friday through the digital buzz and around what supposed appearance to be sourced from footage of a New Year's Day brawl at the shopping center that involved several juveniles and police response. Let's go over some facts. One low-quality clip circulating on social media allegedly shows a tall alien creature walking between a dozen squad cars and an area near Miami's Bayside Marketplace. Though some users on X, formerly known as Twitter, have casted doubt on the unconvincing nature of the video. The scenes from the supposed appearance of the alien match up with news coverage footage and video footage that covered a New Year's Day brawl at the mall that involved several fights and loud fireworks that caused a resident to report an active shooter, according to NBC South Florida, provoking a large police response. If you guys have seen the clips of that, that is a lot of cops.
Yeah.
A clear video that closely matches the alleged alien clip actually appears to be two or three people, likely police officers, walking together between squad cars in an area near the mall. Mixed in with the alleged footage of an alien were videos of people running in panic from the area, with some users conflicting the clips with locals running from the creature. The Miami Police Department confirmed on Monday it received a call of shots fired and eventually concluded the report sound came from fireworks, according to a post on X. Four males were detained from the incident and face charges including burglary, grand theft, battery, and resisting an officer, NBC reported. Arrest made connection to the assault of a man who confronted a group of teens he believed threw a bottle at his car. Here's a crucial quote. There were no aliens, UFOs, or ETs. No airports were closed. No power outages, Miami Police Department told Forbes in an email, adding that the citywide officers were deployed for crowd control due to juveniles refusing to leave that area. You know, and a lot of this has been going on, you know, more and more alien talk ever since we had the congressional hearing on alien and, you know, potentially that aliens are real. I missed probably the biggest news story as it broke. So here we are playing catch up. Count Panic, let's get your take. I mean, assuming you heard the story
already. I heard it. Yeah. I mean, I it swept the national the heart of the national news, right? Everybody was talking about it. I don't really know what to make of it, Bob. I mean, over the past couple of years, it seems like they've been letting more news and news release about UFOs and aliens and whatnot, and this might be something to put on top of all that now. You got to worry about these creatures.
Yeah, definitely something. Definitely something weird there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wait, real? Fake? Really fake?
Okay, I'm going to put, you guys are going to be surprised by this one. I'm calling shenanigans.
Shenanigans.
I'm calling shenanigans on the fact that it's believed, that it's real. All right, so news story picks this up, and instantly on TikTok, right, I'm scrolling through TikTok, and I see dozens and dozens and dozens of news stories or people on video saying they were at the Miami Mall when they saw 10-foot alien creatures walking around. All right. Let's pretend that's the real story. if there was a 10-foot creature walking around, and yeah, there were a lot of cops called to that area. I'm right there. I don't know how Miami's police force works. I don't claim to be a legal law enforcement expert. I can promise you, though, if there were 10-foot aliens walking around, that place would be swarmed by the federal government, not local police. And you would be hearing stories of Men in Black walking around Miami after that.
Will Smith.
Tommy Lee Jones, right? Both or, you know, the actual scary Men in Black show up. You know, there'd be a lot more... There'd be a lot more drones hanging around the Miami Mall. That mall, I guess, was open for business like the very next day. Mm-hmm. What's interesting is they didn't shut down the airport.
They would have done that.
If there was a serious threat, I would assume the FAA would be shutting flights down instantly.
You would think so. Yeah, I mean, if you got these UFOs out there, you'd probably want to get a tight lock on the airspace out there.
Yeah. Man, I want the story to be real, but I'm calling shenanigans.
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 Yeah.
Do you think it's real?
No, no. Like you said, there might be a little more that kind of would go into it, right? As far as
I think it's just a hype story. Everybody was all of a sudden at the Miami Mall. And I don't want to discredit people, but man, this is one of those stories where you report on it, and it's a major breaking story for a day that was like the most major news story that one of the most major news stories that probably came out of the world that day. I'd say top 10.
Yeah. Yeah. It was big.
So you get trending when you say these things. Yeah. I want to believe it's real. I really do. I'm just coming up short.
The truth is out there.
The truth is out there.
I want to believe
which it. Is where our, it's a great segue into our next story, actually. This one comes to us from USA Today, written by Anthony Robledo. An unidentified flying object seen in a video flying over U.S. operations base in Iraq have officially been named, and I quote, the Jellyfish UAP, according to UFO enthusiast Jeffrey Corbell. The UFO enthusiast shared raw footage of the October 2018 sighting on his YouTube channel this past Tuesday, so 1 week ago. The video appears to show the jellyfish-like object flying over a military base at a consistent speed and moving in one consistent direction. Corbell said the vehicle was filmed over the Persian Gulf at night on an undisclosed day and time. Corbell, who has reported on UFOs for years, said the object moved through a sensitive military installation and over a body of water where it eventually submerged. After around 17 minutes, Corbell said UAP reemerged from the water and flew suddenly at a speed far more rapid than what technology can capture on camera. And I quote, this UAP of unknown origin displayed transmedium capability, Corbell posted on X, formerly known as Twitter. The origin, intent, and capability of the anomalous aerial vehicle remains unknown. The UAP displayed a positive lift. The force holds an aircraft in the air without typical aerodynamic means for lift and thrust, according to Corbell. The signatures normally associated with the propulsion and maneuvers were absent. The USA Today has reached out to the FAA and Corbell for comment with nothing added right now. Mm-hmm. I had you watch the video before the show, kind of skim through. There's 2 minutes worth of footage here.
Well, I got some of it.
You can skim through it and get the gist of it.
Watch on Jet TV. I'll put it up.
Oh, yeah, that works out too, actually.
You guys could see this in live time. So what we're seeing right here, doesn't make sense if you're on the radio, is basically, if my computer is not frozen, this thing. Let me refresh this here, Bob. But, it wants me to continue watching on X. Well, that's unfortunate. But, yeah, I did see it. It was kind of like flying around there, Bob. It was going through the different sites, which is interesting to me. But, it's kind of a situation where it's like, well, what can this possibly be? And it did look like a jellyfish to my understanding and knowledge. Here, they play it again here. They pull us back up there. You can see it now if you're watching on Jet TV. It comes in the form. It looks like a jellyfish, right? And just kind of flying out and about, going past different bases there. And it just keeps going. Very odd, Bob. Very odd. I mean, it's like a speck of dust with legs, so you could kind of say too in a while. But it is very jellyfish-like. I can't explain it. What do you think?
Okay. You ready for my take?
Yeah.
I think it's real. I think it's the real deal.
Think it's the real deal?
I think that's the real deal. 10-foot alien marching around the Miami Mall. Maybe extra dimensional creature that's able to phase in and out, and it made everybody forget. I don't know, but I will tell you that the jellyfish UFO, 100% real.
Yeah.
No question about it. How does a random military video leak to some guy on X? I don't know. That's probably more interesting of a story than the actual UAP, right?
Yeah, you would think so.
That's...
I mean,
how does the video of the military base in Iraq get shared?
Watching this because I'm fascinated by this. Now
look how it moves.
It just moves gracefully.
You know, you can't even say it's like an anomaly in the video because it's like if it was a spot on the camera, it wouldn't. I don't know. I'm not buying it. I legitimately believe that's something they caught on camera.
Yeah,
that one you'll get me to agree with.
Yeah.
So I'll call it real.
All right, I'll go with you. Real.
All right, moving on. Yeah. All right, so maybe if you guys don't know, but apparently the James Webb Space Telescope has made a lot of news over the past couple days. A lot of quick clickbait articles. Panic, can you explain what clickbait is to the best of your ability?
Bob, that's the thing, right, where you have something online, like an article, and you got to have a catchy headline, but when you click on a story... It really has nothing to do about any of that, right? So it's clickbait at the end of the day. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's a lot of stories of how the James Webb Space Telescope found life on another planet, almost like a dystopian city on a planet space that's far from here. Everything you read was clickbait.
Clickbait.
Let's go. This is from the ARS Technica website. Is it aliens? No, the James Webb Space Telescope has not found definitive proof of life out there, at least not yet. This is written by Eric Berger. The rumors have been out there for a while now, pre-locating through respectable corners of the astronomy and astrobiological community, that the James Webb Space Telescope has found a planet with a strong evidence of life. Strong evidence of life. Remember, that's important. Some of the sentiment recently bubbled into the public view when British news magazine The Spectator published an item entitled "Have We Just Discovered Aliens?" In accordance with the Burdridge Law of Headlines, the answer to the question posed in this headline is no. But is it a hard no? That's more of a difficult question. The Spectator featured comments by serious British scientists, including astrophysicist Rebecca Smethurst, Smethurst, who said, and I quote, "I think we are going to get a paper that has strong evidence for biosignature on an exoplanet very, very soon." Additionally, there was British astronaut Tim Peake, P-E-A-K-E, fanning the flames with a comment saying, and I quote, "Potentially the James Webb telescope may have already found," and I quote, "alien life. It's just that they don't want to release or confirm those results until they could be entirely sure. But we found a planet that seems to be giving off strong signals of biological life." Giving off strong signals. Perhaps. We're moving on. K218b or not to K218b? That is the question. To get some answers, the person went straight to the source, asking officials with NASA, which is responsible for the Webb telescope, if they have found life or at least very strong evidence of life on another planet or a star other than our own. And the answer was, again, no, but it was not a hard no. The telescope has not found definitive evidence of life on an exoplanet, said Kinoko Colin, the telescope's deputy project scientist for exoplanet science. By the way, that's K-N-I-C-O-L-E-C-O-umlaut-N. It is anticipated that the telescope observations may lead to initial identification of potential biosignatures that could make habitability more or less likely given an exoplanet. Further missions will be needed conclusively establish habitability of an exoplanet. Although she didn't say so, this particular science referring to K2-1AB, an exoplanet 8.6 times massive as Earth, that is mere only 120 light years from our solar system. Astronomers believe that this may be a Hycean exoplanet, meaning it has water, oceans on its surface, and a hydrogen-rich atmosphere. Astronomers had previously studied the planet with the Hubble telescope, but their interest was magnified when the Webb telescope, which became operational last year after launching in late 2022, made some intriguing observations. Among the molecules found by the Webb was dimethyl sulfide. Don't ask me what that means, but answers to come. So what is this chemical that they found? Now I can answer it. It is an organic compound that you have smelled if you've ever cooked cabbage. It is emitted by a phytoplankton in the Earth's oceans as part of a metabolism process. Critically, on Earth, this sulfide is only produced by life. That does not prove the existence of life on K2-18b, but it does per se that there's a potential that the sulfide exists there has a hair-raising clue. Hashtag panics take.
Yeah, there's a lot to take in here, Bob. Let me put the person on a hold right here. But this is all has to do with the, correct me if I'm wrong here, the telescopes, right? I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, is that what I'm getting from this?
Yes, they're saying, so a bunch of clickbait articles came out and said, I don't know what's the purpose of this story, is to tell you that this telescope has may have found life, or we're talking about the concept of clickbait articles. That's for you, the viewer, to decide.
I'm going to say, Bob, I'm going to go with clickbait. I'm going to say it's clickbait.
Oh, it's definitely clickbait. Oh. They just said that in the article.
Okay.
But I'm saying, what was the purpose of me talking about that?
Yeah.
You got to be careful what you're reading out there, you know?
Yeah. They always say, I think it was Abe Lincoln who said, don't believe everything you read on the read in the paper, right? That's what Lincoln said?
Yes.
Or see on TV. I think he said see on TV. I ruined that bit there. I believe he said, don't believe everything you see on TV. They probably had papers when Lincoln was around. Of course they did.
Yes.
But don't believe anything you read in the papers either as well, Bob. You get what I'm saying here.
Absolutely. All right. We have a caller.
Yeah.
I'm going to take it live.
We got a caller. Hey.
Caller, you're on the air.
And don't believe what you see in the malls either, right there. Hey there, Bob.
Oh, hey there, John. Did you think we were attacked by aliens last week?
Well, you know what? You're throwing out some good ones today.
Yes.
One after another. So run that by me again. There was an 8-foot alien seen in the mall?
Supposedly. An 8 to 10 foot tall creature walking around in Miami Mall.
So what do you mean by supposedly? No, you mean either somebody
it happened or it didn't happen. People are claiming it's happened. There's no official reports of it happening.
There's no recordings of it or nothing, no video or...
There is video, yeah. There's a grainy video of something that looks like a 10-foot creature walking around the police.
I mean, is it like a silhouette or is it something like a Bigfoot?
It's a blurry image of a giant blob that kind of resembles a person that's really large.
And you're saying you're a believer of this?
Or, no, absolutely not. I'm calling malarkey.
So after it was seen, that was the end of it? No further investigation by anybody?
Or? That's it.
Well, that's a strange story, all right, Bob.
Well, that's what I'm saying, John. If there was an actual alien walking around, even if it was the greatest cover-up in American history, which it's not, I would tell you that, no, even if this was remotely true, there would be bigger problems going on. And why would a random alien show up at a Miami mall once and just disappear into the cosmos? Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
You guys listen to my show. You know where I stand on the believing scale. I believe
right.
in these things. But this is the one story where I draw the line and say, no.
Yeah, for sure. I'll be 100% with you behind that one. But and anyway, hey, glad to hear you back.
Thank you, John.
And I'll be flipping onto the JET TV in a little while, so I'll see you. And I'm glad you're feeling a lot better, too, as well.
Well, thanks, John. We appreciate that 100%. I appreciate you.
All right. Bye. Hey, thank you. And you stay warm now.
I'm trying.
Yeah, we all are. So, all right. Have a good evening.
Yes. All right, Count, we have another caller.
We do not, but you could.
219-845-1100. Do you think we were under attack by aliens last week or not? 219-845-1100. Call in. Let me know. Count, are you ready to take a quick break?
Yeah, we can do that right now.
All right. Actually, I lied. You want to do one more news story?
Oh, yeah, that's like the fourth one. Yeah,
this is the fourth one. I found this one last minute, and I didn't want to skip it. So let's not go to break yet. We have one more news story.
Okay.
All right. Are you ready for it?
I'm ready for it.
Is haunted doll tucked away in Bucks County barn too creepy even for a vampire museum?
Oh, wow.
This is written by the Philly Burbs by J.D. Mullane. Sometimes a thing is so creepy that even a guy who collects creepy stuff is creeped out, such as the case of Ed Crimony and his haunted doll. Oh yeah, this thing's creepy. I mean, really creepy. Crimony, the proprietor of the Vampire Museum and Paranormal Activity.
How do I not know?
In Buckingham, I'm assuming that is a suburb in Philadelphia. He's not exaggerating. More on that in a bit. Even the way that Crimmy acquired the doll for his museum last week was weird. He runs a high-end European antiques dealership in Bucks County, and he received a strange caller from a fellow dealer whose first name is Nick, but asked his last name not appear in the story. Nick acquired the doll when he purchased the contents from an estate believed to be belong to Robert Thomas, the founder of the Farmer's Almanac, Crimmy said. Mm. I've done business with him in the past, and he's a good guy, but he said he'd get this thing out of here. He wants it out. He said he'd even throw in a swear word and of pay course. To have it removed. Yeah. Grimini, along with his friend Eric, something glitched out on me. Sorry about that, folks. All right, okay. Grimini, along with his friend Eric, a local ghost hunter who documents creepy things on his YouTube channel, traveled into Bucks County McMansion and territory near Indian Springs Road in Doylestown. There, behind a massive house across a field of ice and snow, in a barn-like shed, he'd find the doll.
Oh.
Crimony called Nick to get the doll's backstory, and from what I'm told, it's from the Robert Thomas estate, Nick said. Well, why don't you want it, Crimony says, and this Nick guy says, because it gives me the creeps, which is a valid reason not to want a doll, man. Yeah. So it gave you the creeps, and you're offering to give me $200 to get rid of it, Crimony said. Nick says, exactly. And Crimony says, I'm going to have to take a look at it first. Now, Crimony, my man. As somebody who gets haunted dolls sent to him on the regular, or at least gets threatened to get sent a lot of haunted dolls, if somebody's offering to give you $200 to take the doll, I would even take the
doll. But you hate the doll.
I hate the doll, but I'll take it for $200.
You want to keep it.
It's a steady paycheck, right? So Crimony is a devout Catholic who has studied with priest exorcist in the Vatican, believes that paranormal forces, good and evil, premonate our lives. Under certain circumstances, they attach themselves to inanimate objects like creepy dolls. It's why he recommends having any item purchased in an antique shop or yard sale be cleansed before it's brought in the home. I agree. Holy water works really well, he said. It's a tool that works. The men arrived at the McMansion, which sounds really funny, by the way. It sounds like a fancy McDonald's. McMansion. Which appeared deserted. Around back, far from the house, was a barn-like shed. The doll was in there, Nick said. As the door swung open, a blast of freezing wind hit them and continued blowing. Inside was lawn equipment, boxes of old newspaper and furniture covered in sheets. The men searched for the doll. That one, Mental said, looks like a baby carriage. The cloth was pulled away, revealing a doll seated in a Victorian-era high chair on wheels. Seated in the chair was a doll, old, and its body bizarrely impaled with handmade iron nails. And its doll's left hand was a carved wooden skull. Embedded in its stomach was a timepiece. Its glass eye created the illusion of following the men. On the high chair tray was a small volume of occult spirituality and a page from the 1838 Farmer's Almanac. Crimony looked troubled and said, I don't like it. You can actually go, by the way, and buy a vampire killing kit at this person's museum, and we have two callers.
We do.
All right, caller number one, you're on the air. We'll take it live.
We'll go in order here.
Caller one, you're on the air.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, I heard you were skeptical about something.
Is this Patrick from Ghostly Podcast?
This is Patrick.
Whoa! Hey, now this is a celebrity sighting.
Oh, hey there.
Oh, hey there. It is nice to hear your voice, Patrick.
It's good to be heard. We're taking the month off, so I had nothing better to do. I was like, I'm going to check out Bob After Dark.
What's time off like, Patrick?
And I would pay you $200 to take that doll. Wow.
I'm glad. I am. You could give me money. I don't want them for free, but you could give me money and I'll remove it for you.
What about $50 to take Neil's doll?
That's $50.
And name it.
I don't want to name
it. He's thinking about it.
$50. I would do it for $50.
Wow.
Yeah, okay, I would do it
so
for 50.
I got you down from 200 to 50 now.
But that's the friend discount.
Oh, okay.
That's from one podcaster to another.
Yeah. So I joined your Discord server, and I'm having a ball on there.
Oh, thank you, Pat. I just launched it tonight because apparently that is a thing I need to do, and I'm trying to learn how to moderate a chat and be live at the same time.
Oh, man, you're awesome at it. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, thank
you. Your listeners should totally join it.
Yes, and Pat, somebody asks if this is a microclimate, by the way.
It can be a microclimate, yeah.
So, Captain Skeptic, where do you stand? Do you think the Miami Mall was being attacked by 10-foot aliens?
No. Sorry. Even though I like alien stories, you know, I can't stand behind 10-foot tall.
Me and him are on the same level. Me and Patrick actually agreed on something.
Wow. Now, are they wearing overalls?
Hmm. Oh, my God. I'm glad you enjoy the Mantis Man story of Robinson Woods, Patrick.
Yeah, I don't believe in that either.
Of course you
do. I was with you until you said he had overalls on. I was with you on the whole story.
Now, Pat, in case people at home don't know who you are, tell us a little bit about the Ghostly Podcast.
Oh, Ghostly Podcast is a podcast where we debate ghost stories. And we're starting to venture into some other paranormal things, but not really. You know, we're keeping it ghost related, and I am the skeptic, and my partner is the believer, Rebecca.
She'd probably
be a much better call-in than me.
I actually like when Rebecca and I talk. Sometimes when Pat and I talk.
It's good to have both sides.
It's good. Stop it, you. Quiet, Pat.
I really thought I was tuning in today to hear the revised Yule Cat story.
Patrick, it is January 16th.
Is Yule over?
I still want to hear it, though.
Patrick, how many times do I have to tell this story?
One more time.
Get off the phone, Pat. Thank you. So, guys, check out Ghostly Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts at.
Love you guys.
Thanks, Pat.
Right,
we
Pat,
love you
take
too.
Care.
All right, got another caller on the line. We'll
we
take
do have
live.
Another, we have another good live here.
A
we
live.
Go.
We'll take a caller. Thanks for being patient. Who are you and where are you calling from?
Hey there, Bobo. You know exactly where I'm calling from.
I don't.
Who else calls you Bobo?
Oh, hi, JR. How are you? Thanks for calling in.
Hey, buddy. Love the show. I don't believe we're attacked in Miami, but I was wondering if you heard about the story about the 10-foot aliens in Brazil on the mountaintop.
I have not, no.
So there's better footage. If you can go online, you could see the footage. There's this weird body on top of a mountain, and they get out, they zoom in very close, and it looks really weird. I mean, it could be categorized, yes, as alien. Do I believe it? I don't know. I don't know about the Miami thing, but I think I'm with you on that. I do believe aliens exist, but come on, where are they going to go? The Foot Locker for some Nikes? Get out of here.
As a man from a military background, let's say that we were attacked by some sort of alien force. You don't think the mall is just going to have a bunch of cops show up to it, right?
No. It wouldn't be the cops. It'd be Secret Service, if anything.
Why does attack have to be the word?
Christy wants to know why attack has to be the word.
Okay, fine. Visited. You would, oh, wow. Look at that.
We're showing the footage.
Showing
now,
the footage man. That you're brought up to. How did I miss this? That's interesting. It looks more ape-like than anything. It don't look like the creature from Miami by any means.
No, but it definitely looks weirder.
Yeah, that one's a lot more of a clearer shot. Look at that. Huh. Well, thanks for sharing that story with me, JR. I appreciate it.
Anything for you, Bobo.
You know, you could send those articles over to me, or you can hear the sound of your own voice, whatever works.
I figured this was the only way you'd actually take my call today.
I take your call. You realize I don't take calls. That's the producer's job.
Hello, Mr. Producer.
Hey. How's it going, JR?
JR, thanks for calling in, pal. You have a good night.
Good night, brother. Good night. Good night.
How about that?
Folks, you could we have time. Put Count Panic to work. 219-845-1100. Were we visited by 10-foot alien creatures? Again, that's 219-845-1100. All right, Count. So, haunted doll at the Vampire Museum in the burbs of Philadelphia.
Yep. I say yes.
You know me. I ain't going to say no.
Who knew there was a vampire museum?
In Pennsylvania? Well, there's other, I'm going to use the term vampiric persuasion museums in like Louisiana. I think New York City has one. Pennsylvania.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, Bob. Once again, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't that where Dracula originated from?
Transylvania.
Oh, Transylvania.
Transylvania.
Right. Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania vampires, man. I
got it wrong.
You know, when you think of like vampires, and maybe my chat could chime in here and tell me what they think about it. When I think of like a vampire story, I think of New Orleans right off the bat. That's where my brain goes to. And if it's not New Orleans, it's Chicago with like World of Darkness. If you're familiar with like that RPG system, that's really nerdy side of Bob coming out. But that took place in Chicago. Mm. So I think of like Chicago. I think of New York. I think of Boston, London. Think about London when you think of vampires, Transylvania, Romania, things like that. I don't think of Pennsylvania.
Well, that's a first.
That's a first. So good job, Vampire Museum in Pennsylvania. I'm not dogging the guy.
No.
In fact, we're going to see if we could set up an interview with him next week.
Get him in here, yeah.
Okay. Well, we can't get him in here, but let's see if we can get let's see if we can have him talk about the doll and bring him up on the Zoom for us for next week. Yeah. You like that idea?
I think it'd be great.
I think it's a terrible idea. I'm glad I thought of it. All right, folks, you ready to take a quick break?
Yeah.
All right, Count and Y fans, stick around. We'll be right back. And for our podcast fans, you're about to be hearing words from a podcast that you should be listening to. Stay tuned. And we're back.
Oh, hey.
Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Oh, hey there, Bob.
What did you do during break?
During the break, Bob, I went and had a family reunion in Pennsylvania. Yes, Bob, I am happy to report back since the last time we talked. There is a big vampire clan base in Pennsylvania.
Outside of Philly?
Yep.
Specifically Philly.
That's where they were born and raised.
But do they like the Philly cheesesteaks?
Oh, they love it.
Or do you avoid that because, you know, steak, wooden steak, meat steak?
Well,
you're not the only one with vampire puns, buddy.
It depends.
You guys got to avoid the Philly cheesesteak.
Yeah, although that would probably be a delicious way to go out, right?
I'm a vegetarian, so you're talking to the wrong
guy. You just like cheese.
I just
Philly cheese.
Can I get the Philly cheese without the steak? Excuse me?
Just cheese on a bun.
Can I just get cheese on a bun? You know, maybe you guys make a vegetarian. I digress. What'd
you do?
You know what I did during break, Count Panic?
What?
I also went to Pennsylvania.
Did you?
I did, and I went and I was in search of the Pennsylvania vampire.
And?
I found a guy at a bar. He wore like a green cape, and all he did was count at me.
Really?
It's really weird.
Wow, that sounds
familiar.
He
was just
familiar.
Like, that's one joke.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
And I was like, you know, can I ask you a couple questions? Couple, that's two. That got annoying really fast, and I just left.
I think I know that guy.
Friend of yours, family member of yours?
Yeah.
Like, great uncle that you don't talk about?
Yeah.
The Count Panic family tree.
We don't talk
you know, for our art friends out there in the world listening to this, if somebody wants to sit down and do a Count Panic family tree art,
that?
I'm even going to make that a contest. Draw out the Count Panic family tree art. Wow. We're going to pick the best one, and we'll send you a Bob After Dark care package.
Hey, how about that? All right.
I'm serious.
All right. Well, you let it be known.
I let it be known. And Count Panic, you're going to pick the winner.
Oh, that's a lot of pressure.
That's okay. We're going to do that. We'll run that for now and through the end of February.
All right.
So it be done.
So it comes.
Remember, folks, 219-845-1100. Our phone lines are open. We're two calls away from a world record. I think our top was four, so let's break that record tonight at five calls. 209-845-1100. All right, Count. So you live in the Midwest. I live in the Midwest. Yes. What is going on in the Midwest right now?
What is going on in the Midwest right now?
Belligerent cold weather.
Exactly, yeah.
Belligerently cold weather. I am so cold that it hurts.
How cold are you?
The air hurts my face.
Oh, okay.
I willingly live in a place where the air hurts my face. And I had that realization yesterday when I looked at the temperature outside and it was like real feel minus 20 or something. And I said, you know, I'm well in my 30s. I could choose to live anywhere on the planet. Yeah. But I choose to live in a place where the air hurts my face.
Wow.
It's terrifying, terrible.
Yeah. But I mean, anywhere you move, you have a deal with something, right?
I mean, yes. Yeah. But I was getting to the point here as we dive into the lore of the week. Hold on, I just lost my train of thought. What I'm getting at here is when we get to the cold part of the story here, right, and we get to the cold side of things, I try to theme our episodes and what's going on in the world. Sometimes I'll switch to the desert and be like, here's a story of a ghost camel. Go listen to the ghost camel story. That's actually an episode I did a while back. Or, you know, the Arizona Sasquatch stories. No, this time we're going to theme it with other cold things. And one of my favorite parts of lore picking up from different cultures is the Inuit tribes of, you know, Algonquin, Inuit tribe. Up north, that's when you think of that, the people that live in the extreme colds and they have to, you know, hunt for their food in, you know, tundra-like atmosphere. Some of the stories that come out of the north is legitimately some of the most scariest monster creations in lore you'll ever hear in your entire life. And nothing, you know, we did an episode about the Qualipoq last year, about the baby-stealing weird sea witch. Yeah. She'll come up with, you remember that story, right? No, I'm glad you remember that. Look at you.
I remember things.
That one I thought was the scariest. So when I was diving into some more of the Inuit lore, I came across the story of the Mahaha.
The Mahaha?
The Mahaha. Wow. M-A-H-A-H-A. The Mahaha.
Mahaha.
The Mahaha.
And very funny.
There's a reasoning for the madness, Count. So let's talk a little bit about the Maha. Mm-hmm. So in the and I'm reading this from the Oddity Hive. I got several articles here we're going to be reading between. In the vast icy landscapes of the Arctic, legends and folklore emerge as natural extensions of the environment and struggle of the indigenous people against the elements. One of the lesser known, but not less intriguing legends is that of the Maha, a mysterious figure born from Inuit mythology. Originating from the Inuit legends, the Maha is described as a gaunt, sinewy creature with a cold, bluish tint to its skin, a reflection of its icy habitat. It possesses long, spindly fingers, and sharp nails, which it uses to... Can you take a guess how this creature kills its prey, Count?
How?
Take a guess.
The nails?
With the nails, but it does something specific.
Ah, man. Specific with the nails. Picks their nose. I don't know.
No. If you were to say, does it scratch at their vital organs? No, it doesn't. This, my friends and my dear listeners, is the story of the tickle monster.
Oh, tickle.
This thing will legitimately tickles you to death. I'm not joking with you. So its eyes, wide and crazed, coupled with the perpetual grin, give the Maha a disconcerting appearance. The Maha's Mobius operandi is as chilling as the environment from which it hails. It sneaks up on unsuspecting individuals using its long fingers to tickle them. This act, though seemingly playful, has a sinister outcome. Victims laugh uncontrollably until they succumb to death. Once the Maha's victims are dead from laughter, it drags them beneath the ice to its permanent home. While the idea of the creature that tickles its victims to death may seem odd, it's deeply symbolic. The Maha can be seen as a manifestation of the dangers of the Arctic. Just as the environment can be deceive, yes, it can look at deceiving. That's the word, deceiving. Mm-hmm. I can't talk tonight. Deceiving, but beautifully yet deadly, so too can the Maha, who uses its laughter typically as a sign of joy, as a weapon. Furthermore, the act of dragging its victims beneath the ice can be seen as a reminder of the unforgiving nature that the Arctic waters and dangers they pose. For the Inuit folk, tales of the entities like the Maha serve different purposes. These stories remind listeners of the dangers surrounding them, teaching respect for the environment and cautioning against wandering alone or being too trusty. In times when understanding of certain natural events was limited, attributing disappearances or unexplained deaths to the likes of the Maha provide a form of explanation. During long, dark winter nights, storytelling was a primary form of entertainment, and the story of the Maha, with its mix of horror and dark humor, would have been an engaging story to tell. In the modern era, while direct references to the creature might be limited, its concept, a deceiving entity that turns joy into horror, has paralleled in many global myths and has influenced many horror genres. The Maha, with its chilling laughter and icy grip, stands to as a testament to humanity's need to personify and understand environment's dangers. While the Arctic's vastness holds many mysteries, the Maha remains a unique blend of horror, humor, and reflecting the fine line between life and death in one of the world's harshest climates. What do you think of the Maha?
I think it's terrifying. You know, on one hand, you would think getting tickled would not be a big deal. Sure, you're ticklish, so what? But the fact that, you know, it's enough to kill you, then it's like, well, maybe it's best not to tickle me. It's deceiving, right? Like you said, deceiving.
Yes, it is legitimately. Yeah. You know, when you're a kid and it's like, oh, the tickle monster's going to come and get you. Well, did you know that the tickle monster is actually a part of Inuit lore? And this thing is absolutely terrifying. And I'm not saying that as a joke. The Maha is a maniacal demon that terrorizes parts of the Arctic. And this comes to us from the Inuit myths mythology database. And in the creature, you know, we were saying is described as this big, thin creature that's always cold to the touch no matter what they do. So it's kind of like my mom in that regard. Can't get warm no matter what. Mom probably just laughed at me while she's listening on the radio. And it's interesting because the depending on who you speak to, some refer to the creature as a spirit and some refer to it as a manifestation of like a demonic entity or whatever the Inuit tribe of a demonic entity would be. So it's kind of interesting when somebody would call it a spirit, meaning, you know, not corporeal form, but then we have, you know, an actual 3D concrete something that they're calling like a physical manifestation of some sort of demonic creature, I think is fascinating. It is extremely strong and very, you know, it's very strong and it's always barefoot. So you'll never catch one wearing moccasins or something. Okay. They're always just barefoot wandering through the cold tundras. And the cold demon takes pleasure in tickling its victims to death with sharp, vicious nails. So, and its favorite place is to tickle you. It'll tackle you to the ground and just keep finding it. And it says if you're not ticklish, it will find a ticklish spot on your body.
Really?
So and you can, it'll pin you down determined. And tickle you to death.
Yeah.
And many elders have remarked on its expression on its dead victim, the Maha leaves behind. It seems that all of the victims have a similar expression on their dead faces, a twisted, frozen smile. Hmm. Spooky stuff, huh?
It is spooky.
And they're, by the way, they're singular creatures roaming solitarily across the Arctic, so they're not known as creatures of, you know, they don't hang out in tribes or they don't hang out in groups. They solely hunt by themselves. And the Inuit saw the spirit from time to time, always minimal clothing. So you might see it just with the some pants on, but no shoes, no socks, no shirt, no gloves, no nothing. Just the bottom half of the clothing. And, you know, even if this creature is vicious, he could easily be fooled. You never hear of a female Maha. It's usually just males. Right. Yes.
A male Maha.
A male Maha. Yeah. He could easily, and it's Maha-ha. But it's when you're constantly saying you skip the other ha, it's M-A-H-A-H-A. Maha-ha.
Maha-ha.
Yes. And even though the creature is vicious, he could easily be fooled. In fact, many of the tales told by elders explain how the Maha-ha was fooled into its demise sometimes. For instance, many say that the Maha-ha was tricked to bend over to drink water and was pushed by the Inuit tribe into the currents of the water to be swept away. So much like when we talk a little bit about, you know, the concept of the kappa in Japanese folklore, the turtle creature, and how it has the bowl of water on its head. Some say if you're lucky enough to get it to bow to you, you can trick it by knocking its water source out of its bowl on its head. In this case, you could trick it by, you know, saying, "Hey, dude, that looks like some clean water. Don't you want to wet your whistle before tickling me?"
Yep.
And they were able to shove it into the water.
Wow.
I would say you need a really big, smart game of wit to go head-to-head with this thing. And I would say that you need to be like a physical test of strength to deal with the Maha-ha. I would say that don't try to trick it, because, man, I'm going to tell you, the last people who know me know that I'm a ticklish creature. I am a very ticklish creature.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably the most ticklish creature on the planet, which is why this is the most terrifying thing I think I've ever covered.
Because
I am super ticklish. It's an awful, awful way to die.
Yeah.
I'm going with get a hot poker and stab it through its heart.
Is that proven?
No.
No.
I'm just giving you what I would do. Don't try to outsmart this thing, because if I'm being tickled, like I was saying, I'm a very ticklish creature. I can't think in my brain. I'm going to try to like wiggle away by laughing, but eventually I'm just going to croak.
And you can't tickle back.
You can't tickle back.
Can't
no.
Tickle back. No.
No
tickle back.
So this thing is a walking tickle monster of Inuit lore.
Yeah. Wow.
Count, what's your take on the creature? Let's hear your opinions on
Bob,
it.
Bob, it's nothing to laugh about, if you ask me. I mean, this is a... Did you get that one, too?
Oh,
nothing to laugh about. No laughing matter.
No laughing matter. Listen to this guy.
But, you know, it does seem like... at first, it might sound like fun, right? Oh, man, getting tickled, right? But then, I bet there's some folks out there that are fine with being tickled. But then it turns bad because it's a deadly tickle and nobody wants that. This is a devastating cryptid here, Bob.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
While I was doing research for this episode, I was trying to find out if there is a potential way for you to die by laughter.
Really?
Yes. And there was, once upon a time ago, a torture way that you would actually die by being tickled. Now, folks, for, you know, usually I warn the parents that, because we're a family-friendly show at the end of the day. I pride myself in being a family-friendly podcast for the whole family to listen to. Sometimes I can push the boundaries just a little bit, and tonight's going to be one of those boundaries. So what I'm about to explain to you guys is extremely gruesome, so if you're squeamish, skip ahead to about 10, 20 seconds. I'll give you a chance. All right, so once upon a time ago, there was several countries that would perform this torture, which would be they would set up a person, they would tie them up, and they would pour honey over their feet.
Oh.
And they would have a goat go and lick your
really?
Feet
wow.
and tickle you to death.
Wow.
And goats, by the way, when they start licking, they don't know when to stop. So it would literally lick the skin off the bone.
Really?
And then they would put honey up your body.
It's
so, I mean,
thing.
You wouldn't die by laughter, but you would die eventually by getting your skin ripped apart by a goat.
What a weird... I mean, back then, there were so many weird ways that they just tortured people, right?
That'd be
insane to think about. I never heard about that one. But we do have a...
We have a caller. Take him live.
Bob. We have a caller here at 10 o'clock.
Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Bob. It's Christy.
Oh, hi, Christy. Thank you for calling in.
Oh, of course. So I used the Google machine.
The Google machine.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
And I was looking up, like, if you can actually die from laughter, and it is possible. But you know what I found out is that if you slip and you fall and you hit your head the wrong way on some ice, basically if you hit the bottom of the base of your skull on some ice, you could die from a fit of laughter, because laughing really hard can cause asphyxiation or cardiac arrest.
today I learned. So that would suck for me because I've already had one of those last year.
Yeah, that would not be the greatest. So maybe you should be careful when you're walking because we don't need you to be visited by this ice monster.
Thank you for the warning, Christy. I appreciate that. When I'm up in the north visiting Inuit tribes, I will make sure to avoid the Mahaha.
That's a great idea.
Absolutely.
Just thought I'd let you know.
Thank you, Christy. We appreciate you calling in.
Sure, no problem.
How about that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Folks, we are one caller away from a record.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
This is not the way to go about it, Bob. It's got to be
It's natural. Okay, fine. I may or may not have told my Discord to call in just now because we're only one caller away. So if we get a caller in the next, I don't know, 5 minutes, we can break a record here, which is kind of cool.
So now you're just going to...
Now I'm pandering.
You're pandering for somebody to call. Instead of closing out the show, you're going to...
Fine.
No,
if it's meant to be, it's meant to be.
What's the number?
219-845-1100.
219-845-1100.
1100.
All right, well, go about yourself.
Okay, anyway. Yeah. I would say... unironically, that this is one of the most terrifying creatures I have ever covered in the entire history of Bob After Dark. Mm. And I will tell you why. You think about a laughter, right? And laughter is supposed to be like this nice release of dopamine, keeping yourself excited and happy. And you are now used that as a torture method for you to eventually die. It is not said what happens to your body once the Mahaha drags it down below the ice. But in this case, you totally can. They don't say exactly what happens to you when you go down there. But, man, I don't want to experience that.
Mm. Well, Bob, like I said, it's no laughing matter. And I guess, Bob...
we have a record!
It paid off on your end.
Okay, is it five unique callers? Because it's only going to count if it's five unique callers.
Let's find out here.
All right, caller on the air.
Yeah, good evening, Bob. This is Yashu Portside Wakim. I'm really enjoying the show, Bob. I really enjoyed this show. You have some very interesting topics tonight, Bob. And I'm glad I'm your fifth caller. Do I win a prize?
I don't know, Bob.
This sounds like John.
Do I win a prize?
You won a something, sir. What was the name again?
Yashu Portside Wakim. Well, that's a fine how do you do.
How do you do, Yash? It's a pleasure.
Oh, well, another fifth caller. I don't know. I listen to you all the time, Bob.
Well, it counts,
do I win something?
Yeah,
do I get a shirt or anything, Bob?
Yes, you won my deepest gratitude, Yash.
There you go.
Well, I'll take that then, Bob. Thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you, Yash. We appreciate you.
There you have it. How about that? Five calls, Bob. That's
five. I don't know. That Yash guy sounds a little suspicious.
Yashu is.
Listen, Yash, if you're... anyway, this thing was legitimately the most creepiest creature ever because you're using this tool of, like, dopamine release and excitement and comfort to end up just, you know, being used as a torture device to kill you.
Yeah, I don't know. That's again, it's a laughter. You think of it as a fun thing, but again, it could be deadly.
It could definitely be deadly.
Deadly laughter.
Now, Count, do you have any closing words for our audience this evening?
Closing words, Bob. Let me again get my cape out of the wheel here. If you laugh, if you're laughing, do it in moderation, of course. And also, as well, if you're listening to this live and in the Midwest, the polar vortex should be snapping soon. So there's that. So stay warm out there, everybody.
And avoid the Mahaha.
Yeah.
You're looking at the phone like we have a caller late.
We do not have a caller.
Okay. I was like, man.
We did. We broke the record, Bob.
We broke the record. I'm going to consistently do this. That's important.
Yeah. Six next week.
All right. Folks, thank you for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. On behalf of me and Count Panic, we just want to say Good night to all of you. Good night to my mom. I know you're listening by the radio. I hope you have sweet dreams. To dad, wherever you are in the universe, I hope you're happy, comfortable, and doing it, whatever it is that you want to be doing. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I hope you have the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are: not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.